All right, welcome to Ask the Mayor. We're in Kokomo, a beautiful day in Kokomo. Thanks again for having us.
Our pleasure. Thanks for following us.
I see a lot of groundbreaking ceremonies. When I look down your Twitter feed, I think there were about three of them that has happened since we've been here last. The first one I want to touch base on is the new Humane Society. And it's funny, we're seeing this, I believe, in Columbus and Bloomington as well. Is it a new location, new facility? What's going on?
Both. New location and a new facility, and they're going to be in a much more visible location. And they really have outgrown their current facility, and it's way beyond being just needing minor updates. So they've been focusing on this for a few years, have done a lot of capital fundraising from local businesses, local individuals, did the groundbreaking, and we're excited about their location. It's along the Industrial Heritage Trail, just, about 10 blocks, 13 blocks south of the downtown area, but it's very much connected to the city, almost geographically in the center of the city. And it's in an area that has really not near where the tornadoes have went through in the last few years. So this is going to be a something that just not only helps the Humane Society and the animal lovers and the animals in this community. This has a ripple effect and really helps the neighborhood and the entire community. So we're excited.
And, residents may not know, it's a place, the Humane Society is more than a place where you just go to adopt pets or animals. They take care of a lot of issues too.
Yes,
in the city.
And we contract with them for animal control services. They're adding a cat cafe, which so they're going to try to make it even kind of a gathering place along the trail. So we're excited about the entire project, and they've done a great job of inspiring the community to get involved.
I also see you had a groundbreaking at Meridian Park with Buena Vista, a new residential center.
This is. Buena Vista is one of the really premier business, or really not-for-profit that helps people with disability challenges from birth to adults and beyond. And so this will give them a residential facility. I think 13 units, so that disabled and challenged adults will have a permanent place to call home and live, more independently than they're used to. And this is also, it's in Meridian Park. It'll take up a piece of the park, but it will help us. It'll give us a reason to help revitalize that park. It's a nice neighborhood park. And it's going to improve the frontage along Apperson Way near Kokomo Municipal Stadium. So there's just a lot of, it's in walkable distance to the downtown. So we're very excited about the location that they've worked with us on and obviously the quality of the facility itself.
Now you said they're taking up a part of the park. So yep. Is the city kind of chipping in that?
We're donating that. And then it was a part of the park that was underutilized. It was kind of the frontage space. So it will still have all the amenities, the basketball court, a nice shelter, some playground area, backstop for baseball or kickball, things like that. But it was a part of the park that was underutilized. And they're going to build it up front so it will improve the streetscape of the park as well.
And I see you did. And we talked about this last month too, but the official groundbreaking happened for the assisted living facility.
Yes.
With Vermilion.
Yes. Yeah. And that is at the time we announced it was the largest investment in downtown Kokomo's history at the time, $23 million. We've since passed that. But, this will bring, I think, well over 100 assisted living units to the downtown area. It's in an area that with the old Southside Lumber site, which was underutilized and was really, I would consider it a blighted piece of property. And then this also brings about 40, 50 jobs with it as well in the healthcare industry. So you're going to have people in this living here that are in different stages, need different stages of assistance. Some just may need somebody to check on them every few days. Some may require they may need a couple meals served to them, things like that. But so you're going to. But the best part is it's right along the trail, right near Foster Park, and connected to the downtown area.
Would you call this a housing boom? I mean, besides what we just talked about, there are other projects too that are in full swing, condominiums, apartments.
Yeah. When you look at our building permit numbers, and this year each year it's ticked up, and in 2016 we had the largest number of single family home permits in about a decade. And this year's trending to even pass that up. So far, we're halfway through the year, and we're on track to even pass that up. And that doesn't include duplex condos. We just really have been tracking the number of apartments and the single family homes. So a lot of activity. We had some of the neighborhoods that were being developed back in 2005 and 2006. We went through the recession in 2008 and 2009. I always had the concern that some of them, those lots would never be filled, with the housing market return, and now we're to the point where they're just about completed, and probably will be this year.
I wanted to mention that Kokomo Tribune article about the population, but it was talking about how it's been minimal declining over the past few years.
Yeah.
Do you worry about that concern with, all the housing being built?
Here it's hard to track, and I have to give the Census Bureau a pass on this. As a taxpayer, we all know it's extremely expensive to do the 10-year census count. So what they do is what I call it their best guesstimate, and that's really all they can do. And so their formula is a little flawed. It's not a perfect way to really track it, because they don't have the money to do it every year. And so even though it's not a perfect system, it's equally imperfect for each community. But we were projected, North Central Indiana was supposed to take the biggest hit over this decade in population loss. And the fact that we, even with a slight decline, I think over the last 6 years, we've lost, somewhere around 13 or 14 people under their system. So it's very, it's almost, even under their system, it's stagnant. We look at that where we were, the Indiana Kelley School of Business was looking at us losing 1,000, I think somewhere around 1,400 over this decade. So we've really, it even puts us where we're somewhere around the 28th or 30th fastest growing counties by just kind of being holding our own.
The interesting statistic was at the end of that article where it said 9,000 people that work here live in another county. And I think you mentioned this once before, that you want those people living here.
We do, and that is our biggest challenge. Of course, we love jobs announcements and private investment and all those things, but we don't get that ripple effect and the full benefit from that if people aren't living here. How we make that happen is focus on quality of place, quality of life, and make sure that this is the place that give them the most desirable product. And that's what we're focusing on, our schools, our parks, our streetscapes, quality of life, our investments in our trails, things like that.
And another interesting dynamic since we last talked is the closing of the Marsh supermarket chain. Two stores here that are set to close. Competition, of course, is always good in any type of market, but when you lose that, in an area of the city may not be served, fresh produce or meats. And so that leaves a hole here in Kokomo.
Well, we do. Yeah, we have a lot. There's a lot of competition. We have two Kroger stores. We have an Aldi's. We have a Save-A-Lot. We have Meijer, Walmart, Sam's Club. We have Sunspot, which is a natural health food store. So we have, I think there's a lot of competition with quality opportunities for shoppers. The benefit we have here in Kokomo, I've talked to some of the people that have voiced concerns. We have the largest free-to-rider public transportation system in the state. So it may take a little more time out of your day if you have to get on the bus to go to and use the bus, the public transportation system, to get to a different location, but there's no additional cost because it's free to the rider. So you may have a little bit more of an inconvenience, but even for those that are living on tight budgets, there's no additional expense to get to the other locations. So I think we'll work our way through it. But for some people, it'll be more of an inconvenience. Should be no additional cost because of the bus system.
I see, and you might have to refresh my memory, it's been a while since we talked about this, but as a July 1st, the smoke-free ordinance takes effect. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Can you give us a little update on what that means? What's going to change?
Well, we already had a partial smoking ban and had had that for the better part of a decade in that you could not smoke inside any building unless you had to be 21 to get in. So basically, bars had the option of they could have smoking in their establishments. But any place that allowed children, even if you sold alcohol, could not allow smoking. So the biggest changes are you are no longer allowed to smoke at festivals, at city parks, and now everything, it's a comprehensive ban. Even private clubs and even VFWs and American Legions and those places. So it is a very restrictive ban, and that takes place July 1st. And it's changed. But people, I think a lot of people, they've watched this change and evolve over time, and I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, and I remember you said this last year, or the last time we talked about it too, you're not that concerned about these bars or these clubs closing down or running them out of business.
No, that's not the objective. But they're going to have to adapt, just like the grocery industry has had to adapt, or the assisted living facilities throughout the country. It's changing their business model to adapt to that, and the ones that will, I think they'll be fine. And the ones that won't, they may have a little, they may be a little slower to reap the benefits.
I see the county and city applying for the state's community crossings matching grant fund, about $1 million.
Yep.
So that goes back into more road construction?
As I talk to people in the public, if you travel around Kokomo, you're gonna see a lot of orange barrels, a lot of construction. This year, I always say there's two seasons. There's winter and then there's construction season. So that's all we have here in Indiana. So our dilemma is not going to really be money. Our fight this year is going to be time. Can we get all the projects we have lined up? Can we get them done before the weather changes and you can't produce asphalt and can't do road construction? So we have a lot of things going on. Of course, we do some of it in-house, some of it we contract, but our contractors are very busy. They also have private work to do, not just city and county government work. So it's not, our challenge is going to be, can we win and beat Mother Nature this year to the finish line?
Yeah, and now this money is addition to what we've been hearing about with the state budget and the extra road and
right. It's some of the money they've set aside.
This is a different grant.
Right.
Program.
Yes, and I think last year was the first year that they had set up this pool and some matching grants, but it has to be project specific, and I feel very comfortable that we've met the criteria and we'll make sure we get our fair share here for Kokomo.
Just a quick update, just because I've been hearing more and more about convention centers. Terre Haute looking to renovate the Holman Center. Bloomington received two proposals for a convention center there. And I know you've talked about this and been looking at this in Kokomo, but it's been a few months. Has anything changed in that regard?
Yeah, we're doing there's a lot of background work. We've found a developer that's very interested. We have not come out with a public announcement yet until the financing is all the details worked out, who will operate the facility, all those things. I mean, I hope to have something made public, and I hate to give myself a deadline, but in the next anywhere from 3 to maybe 6 or 7 weeks, we have something concrete, all the I's dotted and the T's crossed on the project. But our Economic Development Board has weighed in on this through our councils and the Convention and Visitors Bureau, all those different entities, and I think we're all lined up and hopefully have something the details worked out here very soon.
Sure, and of course funding is a key issue. It seems like the General Assembly, at least in the past, is not going to help pass funds or taxes in order to do that. So
we were looking at, we have a 5% innkeeper's tax right now. There is no debt associated with that, and we have been over the last 3 or 4 years, our Convention and Visitors Board has done a great job of kind of squirreling away that money, and we've built up a cash reserve of about $1.5 million They've been very selective on the programs and the community requests that they support so that we can put ourselves in this position. And so we have a good amount of money to really lay down the base for that. We were looking for the General Assembly to allow us to bump that up to as much as 8% to give the County Council the ability to do that. That did not make it through the General Assembly this last session. We still think we have a path to make this happen. And that's what we're working on, you know, since we were hoping that would make it much easier. But I think if we sharpen our pencils and make it a priority, we can get this done. And like I said, I'm very optimistic just from the talk with the community leaders.
So before we go, name three things people can do in Kokomo here these next few weeks. I hear there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. I think, well, this weekend, if you can make it up here on the June 30th, this weekend's our Haynes Apperson Festival. Friday night, Blues Traveler will be playing free in downtown Kokomo at our Arts Pavilion. We expect we can 5,000 to 7,000 people, open air, free summer concert. Down at the Haynes Apperson Festival with the rides and all the activities. On Saturday night, Grand Funk Railroad will be playing for free down there for the second night of the festival. So those are the big things coming up immediately. Kokomo Beach is one of the nicest public aquatic centers in the state of Indiana. It's only, I think, 14, maybe 15 years old, and it's we've added amenities since then. Admission is $4 to get in per person. And I would say that. And then we have a lot of events always going on at Kokomo Municipal Stadium. Our collegiate wooden bat team, the Jackrabbits, play through the end of July to the first part of August. Those are some of the big events. But we have other concerts after that as well. Mitch Ryder's going to be performing this year at our community concerts. About every 2-3 weeks we have part of our summer concert series. We have other acts coming. Sunvolt, they actually just played in Bloomington a couple of months ago at the Bluebird, and so they'll be playing here for a free concert. So yeah, we have a lot of activities going on.
Also a big art exhibit coming to the public library.
Yeah, Banksy is an artist known for his street art, and I think this is the first time that an actual piece of his art has left and been on traveling display, and it's going to be at the Kokomo Public Library downtown location, and we're very happy that they sought him out, and it's known throughout the United States and really throughout the world as that street artist and kind of almost a graffiti type of artist, and so we're very excited to bring his artwork here.
And that's in August, is that right?
August, yes.
Yeah.